Hour number two of The Blitz. It starts right now, 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. We're live in your Fan Run radio app. That's free. Wherever you get your apps, download it, put it in your pocket, take it with you, take us with you on the go. We're also live in that Fan Run radio web browser. For those of you thinking about making the trip to Hattiesburg, just saw right now, Tennessee Baseball just tweeted out a link to buy a couple of tickets. I don't think there's much, but it looks like potentially some tickets through Southern Miss have made it out to the general public. I'm right now in the Southern Miss virtual ticket waiting room, waiting to see if I get anything. I'm not actually going to go or anything, but just kind of was curious to see if I can get in. So far, I've been sitting here loading for 4 minutes, so doesn't look super promising, but just want to let you guys know, if you're out there listening, that maybe an opportunity to buy some tickets. That being said, why don't we go ahead and start hour two with an opening drive. Go ahead and hit that music.
Opening drive.
Opening drive. First down. A little bit of NBA draft news.
Okay.
A potential lottery pick, a projected first-round pick, former Duke freshman Derek Whitehead. He underwent a right foot procedure and is going to be out through the summer. However, they're expecting him to be fully recovered for the start of NBA training camp. He had an initial procedure on his right foot back in August, underwent a second surgery this week in New York. Dr. Martin O'Malley, he called it a revision operation with bone grafting for a fifth metatarsal Jones fracture. In the most recent mock draft over on ESPN, Whitehead projected at 26th. I'll say it, I think this might drop him out of the first round.
Yeah, definitely possible. He didn't have an awesome freshman season either. Both the Duke kids really saw their stock fall a lot. I mean, especially if you just pay attention to, like, the top 300 basketball rankings. Obviously, you know, you got to mix in a couple international guys as well, but the G League players, the Thompson twins obviously taking up some spots, and yeah, the Duke kids who kind of headlined that freshman class last year as one of the best recruiting classes in the country, really sliding down the board. And I think the Lively kid, the, you know, his teammate, obviously, I think is going to have great value as he continues to fall. And Whitehead, you know, yeah, as you said.
Whitehead showed some promise when he was healthy and playing at the end of the year, especially. Right. I don't know, for me, 2 foot surgeries in a year, that is a major red flag, especially in basketball. You know, those foot injuries, they don't go away. Like, that's something that could linger throughout a career, and that's something I would be worried about if I were a GM. I'd take him off of my board, quite honestly, just because, you know, unfortunately, again, the foot injury is just not something I trust. Also, in NBA draft news, staying here on First Down, report yesterday, Scoot Henderson scooting out of that second spot.
Correct, yeah.
In the draft, report yesterday that it's all but guaranteed, pretty much, that the Charlotte Hornets are going to take Brandon Miller at number 2. Somewhat surprising, it feels like. I mean,
yeah, and there's been bad reports about his pre-draft process. Out of shape, not doing well in interviews, not really taking ownership of what happened with the gun situation. So interesting coming from Charlotte, but not that surprising because they're a terribly run organization. But if you're Portland right now, you have to be celebrating, because even the thought that now you're going to take Scoot, or that Scoot's going to be available for the 3rd pick, definitely raises that as a trade asset if you want to go get a guy like Jaylen Brown. Or if you want to tear it all down and ship Dame out, Scoot Henderson, Anthony Simons, and Shaedon Sharpe is a really fun young core. So if you're Portland, I'd be celebrating. I think Scoot's going to be awesome.
I do too, but I don't know. I really like Brandon Miller too. When it had always been presumed that it would be Victor and then Scoot at 1-2. Right. I'd always kind of thought, I don't know, man, Brandon Miller should be in that conversation. So to see him so quickly overtake that second spot, and they must feel pretty good about Brandon Miller, which, not a Brandon Miller guy, but I do really like his game, and I think he's going to be really good at the NBA level.
Yeah, I mean, just...
I got through, by the way.
Just schematic? Oh, okay.
I can buy some super regional tickets for $66.
So, first person to offer, what, 120? You'll take it?
I don't know. Should I just buy these right now?
I would, just to hold on to them, if nothing else.
I mean, I can't go.
You're right. Yeah, but you could resell them or something. Or give them to a loyal fan.
Anyone out there need me to buy these tickets?
And listener.
Well, someone down there. Well, someone.
I think nothing bad can happen if you buy them.
If I buy these two tickets, will someone pay for me and Logan to go down there and stay down there since we're good luck, maybe?
I won't, but yeah, somebody will.
Anyone listening? If everyone listening right now.
Somebody get Tony V on the horn.
If everyone listening right now gave $1. Me and Logan are having a great time in Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
Throwing that out there. Just $1. Yeah, I'm not buying these tickets, but I didn't expect to get through, so now I just feel like I should, but I have zero reason to do this. That would be a terrible decision, so I'm just going to exit out.
Yeah, I
don't know how the resale process is going to work with these, because it's not through any of... You're like, it was through Southern... Yeah. I don't know. It was weird. I don't know if it's a hard on Ticketmaster and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it would be a hard thing to do. You would pretty much just have to know somebody, I think, to, you know, basically send them or share them to their Apple Wallet or whatever. Yeah, but anyways, the Brandon Miller thing, last, just to clean that up... the pre-draft stuff, to me, is alarming. He is clearly, in my opinion, the better fit for that team with LaMelo Ball as your one established star now. I don't know that you could get away with a backcourt of Scoot Henderson and LaMelo Ball both. So just from a team-building aspect, I get it. But you're also a franchise that's just coming off the Miles Bridges situation. Obviously, a domestic violence situation there. And I just don't know that you want more PR questions, if nothing else. PR nightmares at the worst. And, again, it is interesting, but not surprising at all, because they have continued to trip over their own feet in every decision. I'm going to go ahead and move us a second down, if that's all right with you, Charlie. Sticking with the NBA, I'm going to try and find another one that's non-NBA, because I have two NBA right now, but I have to mention this. The Ja Morant camp yesterday, going with the defense of it was a toy gun in the second Instagram video. Just whoever his advisors are, whoever his team is comprised of, it clearly has been the wrong people throughout this situation, and that's led him to get in trouble in some at different times, you know, throughout the last 2 years, really, where he's had some struggles. And to now go with the toy gun defense, here's the thing about it. Even if it is a fake gun, an airsoft gun, a toy gun, a really high-level replica gun, the fact that he went on Instagram Live the second time with it proves that it was kind of a middle finger to Adam Silver. Like, yeah, you gave me 8 games. I haven't learned my lesson. I think I'm better than you. I think I make so much money that I don't have to listen to you. I mean, Nike gives me all this money. I don't even need this, you know, the 8 games that I missed and the $50 million I missed out on by not making all NBA because of the first gun situation. And now going with the toy gun defense, it's just something I didn't see coming. But when you look back at the terrible, fake, staged Jalen Rose interview and the, you know, 72-hour rehab stint from the first incident, it all just lines up. And I think that he just needs to scrap his entire friend group, his entire advisory
panel.
Dude, he
unfollowed DTAP. We're good.
Yeah, exactly, man. Like, it's just... It's just an absolute nightmare to think about how bad this kid is screwing things up, just in terms of his money.
Maybe he should go on Instagram Live with a gun again.
Mm-hmm. Third gun.
But like a musket or like a really nice antique gun.
Yeah.
And instead of like young boy playing in a car, like he's at a nice table and he's just showing you his nice antique gun collection and really trying
to spin.
Like maybe like weekly antique gun talk with John Moran.
I would love that. I think that's really the only answer he has left.
Yeah, like, you know, here's this 1947 revolver I got in an auction in Piscataway. I got this nice musket in Salisbury, North Carolina, you know, in a gun show.
Yeah.
And it's one of my proudest in my collection, and just like really take it the other way.
Yeah, make him teach gun safety to children.
That's another idea. Why not have them just start, you know, why not just start going on Instagram Live teaching gun safety classes?
Yeah, exactly. And
if John Morant, if he was just like, hey, Tuesday, 7 p.m., all throughout the month of July, we're going to have hour-long Instagram Live gun safety classes with Jaw, I would watch everyone.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't need a gun safety class. I don't plan on unsafely handling any guns anytime soon, but yeah. I'd watch. Every week.
Yeah, but the toy gun defense I did not see coming at all. And I don't believe for a second. What's for third down, Charlie?
Bad news. Bad news for third down.
Mm.
Because the College Football Players Association is trying to organize a boycott of the 2024 EA Sports College Football video game. This is because we can't have any good in the world and everything's evil and bad and sad all the time. No, this is because the payout for athletes is expected to be roughly $500, which, in my opinion, that's a good amount of money. However,
for a college kid, absolutely.
There are people in the Players Association that have said that they should not opt into it, that it's a ridiculously low amount of money, that it's lower than their NIL value, which... I don't know. I think that there are some bad evaluations out there. I think $500 is fine. I don't think there's going to be a lot of momentum to join this boycott.
I don't either.
But I think it could lead to some random players just not being in the game. So hopefully that
which I'm fine with, by the way.
You know, a customizable roster feature.
Yes.
And then we'll just
that will absolutely be the case. That's what we did for our entire lives, Charlie, was we edited the rosters before you could even download rosters from other people who took the time to build them. At least I would go in and change the names manually myself.
Yeah, I mean, before you could download rosters, dude, you could find people on the internet to mail memory cards to.
Yes.
And with, like, a check, and you would just hope you got it back.
Yeah, exactly. And you would set it up, and you'd throw that thing in your PS2 and hope it didn't fry your entire system. But there will be workarounds for it. I'm not worried about it at all. And in the case that it just comes down to they release it with no players like they did in the old days, there will be another workaround that people will figure out. There will be some kind of jailbreak. There will be some kind of memory card. There will be a downloadable file that will fix all of this and make it right.
For what it's worth, guys are getting anywhere between $17,000 to $28,000 for Madden.
Interesting.
But there's 32 teams and... 53 players per team, not 132 teams with 85 players.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The scale is just too big.
And you can't scale it personally to each individual player.
Right.
Like you can't. I mean, it's just an impossible task. You can't be like, all right, Caleb Williams, we'll give you $38,000 to be in the NCAA video game and. Tennessee backup tackle Dane Davis, you can have like $37.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You have to just pick a flat number. And $500 and a free copy, how about you just shut up and let it happen, man. Let us all be happy. If you think that your NIL evaluation is so much more than $500, then just go get it from infinitely other services.
Right.
Go get it from your boosters and just let us have our video game. Come on.
I also want to plug an interview I listened to yesterday that was specifically about the it was a podcast I was listening to specifically about how all of the it was Bruce Feldman did it. He did a piece on how NIL is basically the majority of like reported he said that 80% of the reported NIL stuff that we see on Twitter and stuff like that never comes to fruition. It's just, you know, a lot of times things get promised, things get reported that aren't actually true, because it's kind of the same thing as we see in pro sports sometimes, where like the contract number that is reported does not ever end up getting paid out, specifically in the NFL, because these agents are now involved with the college level as well. So I don't know, this is interesting. Anyways, check out Bruce Feldman's
fourth down
stuff on that. Fourth down, I'm going to try and break up the basketball talk, and I don't even know if anybody cares, but Messi coming stateside. He's going to be joining Inter Miami, is what I saw of the MLS, and I think he's just going to absolutely dominate. Obviously led Argentina to the World Cup championship this past November, December.
So does that mean we win?
Is
it soccer now officially?
Yeah, I mean,
after we won with a draw against England, and now
right,
we
got
Messi
home
too. I think it might just be soccer now. I think we won.
I think the next World Cup, I'm definitely going to go check out a USA game. I think it would be awesome.
I would like to
see
go.
Us play
I think it's
in
probably
like going to
be really hard.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But I want to go.
Yeah, I think it's going to be sick. But anyways,
we got that one dude from the team that's good, and he's going to make us better.
Yeah, we just flipped some dude from England. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's going to
– major recruiting flip there.
Is he our striker now with
yes.
Pulisic on one wing and Reina on the other? Is
yes,
that how that works?
I think that's the –
look at me pulling out some soccer knowledge.
Yeah, talking soccer, dude.
I don't remember who the guy is, though. But he's going to play striker.
I know, I can't remember his name either.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people were fired up that we flipped him from England. But, yeah, Messi coming over to the MLS and is probably just going to absolutely dominate. Probably going to be, you know, a 6-goal-a-game scorer. And win whatever their MVP trophy is, the David Beckham Award or some other made-up thing. I don't know. But, yeah, major get for U.S. soccer. Grow the game. And in a couple years, you know, some kid who is from Miami, Cuban descent, you know, he's like, I want to play for the U.S. in the World Cup because I saw Messi.
Hey, bonus fifth down.
Play at Hard Rock Stadium. What do you got?
Speaking of video games, Josh Allen on the cover of Madden 2024
okay.
just announced.
Definitely worthy of that honor for sure. I mean,
yeah. I think Josh Allen, most overrated quarterback in the NFL.
Come on. That's
overrated does not equate to bad.
Yeah, you're right.
That is
true.
I don't think he's nearly as good as he is regarded.
I think he's the second best in the NFL. I think that's properly rated.
I got a question for you.
I definitely don't think he's better than Mahomes. Like, I would rather have Mahomes,
I think Burrow's better.
Ooh, that is a good one. I do like Burrow a lot.
Who would be better? All right, so throwing it back to the year that Josh Allen and Daniel Jones get drafted.
Okay.
Who would be better? Daniel Jones, but he gets drafted into a Kyle Shanahan system, or Josh Allen, but he gets drafted into an Urban Meyer coach system?
Daniel Jones and Kyle Shanahan system, or
Josh Allen
gets and
drafted
Urban
by
Meyer.
Urban Meyer.
I don't even know what the Urban Meyer system necessarily is.
Yeah, it's not
is,
necessarily
but
the system.
I know what
is,
yeah.
The system is like, hey, we're going to do things the wrong way.
Right, exactly. It's set up to fail. So the fact that Daniel Jones might be the best quarterback that Kyle Shanahan's ever had, I would probably lean Daniel Jones, yeah, just because Allen would be set up to fail.
I don't think it's even a question.
Yeah.
I think
it's close.
I'm going to say this, and then we're going to go to break, and I'll just let this hot take rest.
Let it simmer.
Let it simmer. If you flip Josh Allen and Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones gets drafted by the Bills and gets Stephon Diggs and gets Brian Daboll and gets that offense and that coaching staff and that organization – And Josh Allen gets drafted by the Giants and gets stuck in that big old mess, that dumpster fire, then I think their careers would almost be flipped too. Send us to break. NBA Finals, Game 3 tonight. I keep like bouncing in and out of basketball mode with everything else that keeps happening with these long breaks between games.
Right. Yeah, it seems.
And then you just got to wake back up and be like, my team is in the NBA Finals tonight. This is awesome. Lock back in. Come on. But game three tonight, we're tied 1-1 after the Heat stole one in Ball Arena on Sunday night. Tonight, still no Tyler Hero. Initially, you know, people thought that he would be back in game three. That was what was reported, but still kind of working his way back, still some soreness in that shooting hand. And then he's even expressed partially that he's not overly interested in coming back and messing up the rhythm of the team. So I almost think Miami's in a situation where you afforded yourself the luxury by in winning game two to now hold Tyler Hero out longer, you know, let him get a little bit more rest, and then it's almost kind of the card that you pull out if you get into a more dire situation.
But like break glass in case of emergency kind of deal.
Seems like that's kind of how you treat Tyler Hero, which is weird to say about your team's second leading scorer from the regular season, but I don't know. I mean, if the Heat win again tonight, I don't know if I want to bring Tyler Hero back for game four.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think that messing up the rhythm of this team at this point would be a major coaching misstep. But at the same time, I respect Spoelstra so much that if he did it, I would be like, all right, like let's see what happens. Spo obviously has the heartbeat of this. You know, he's got his finger on the pulse of this entire team, and he's empowered all of these role players in this postseason run. And I think not having Tyler Hero play quote unquote hero ball, you know, has been a huge help in kind of getting everybody to buy into what their game plan is offensively. And, you know, with guys, you know, basketball is such a rhythm thing too, that like, in Tyler Hero's absence, guys like Caleb Martin, guys like Duncan Robinson, you know, Vincent and Strus were always going to play, but probably playing more still without Tyler Hero in the lineup and available. And, you know, just the more you play, the more comfortable you get, the more confidence you have in yourself when you step on the floor. It clearly has been a net positive for this Heat team, even though, as you say, he was such a huge part of the team during the regular season. But the team during the regular season also wasn't very good. Like, we have to remember that this was a play-in team that had a middle-of-the-road record and were 3 minutes away from losing to the Chicago Bulls in the second play-in game after getting housed by Atlanta in the first one.
Really is crazy to think how close all of this was to never happening. But Miami made some big adjustments in game two and kind of countered what the Nuggets were doing in some instances, the biggest, I think, being Kevin Love getting inserted in the starting lineup, obviously, and then putting Jimmy Butler on Jamal Murray. So the NBA Finals is kind of like 1 2-week-long giant basketball chess match.
Definitely.
I mean, each game feels like a different season almost. Like, each game is just like such a unique battle. And I think we have two great coaches too, which is really making this NBA Finals fun. We haven't always had great coaches in the NBA Finals. You know, Kerr, I think, is a great coach. And last year I thought Aduka, you know, M.A. Aduka and Steve Kerr were both really good coaches. But I think at times we've had some talent outweigh coaching. I'm really enjoying a series where you have two really smart coaches kind of tinkering back and forth with each other. But what's the counter tonight for the Nuggets to the Heat's counter?
Yeah, it's a series full of adjustments. It always is in the NBA Finals. If I can stick on the coaching thing for 1 second, coaching so often is discounted in the NBA, especially during the regular season, which I agree with. It is star-driven. You want a coach who, more than anything, can manage the personalities of superstars at this point. But when you get to an NBA Finals, even a conference Finals, as you said, every game is so different. You now are at the point where it's the adjustments to the adjustments, and if you don't have a good coach, then you get exposed, unless you just have elite talent or you have a guy like LeBron James who can be a coach on the floor. For me, I think the Kevin Love thing is going to get exposed. It worked for one game, and so much of what this Heat team does, in my opinion, are good curveballs. The zone defense, to me, is effective right now because, and has been throughout this entire playoffs, because teams just aren't used to seeing it, aren't used to playing against it, aren't used to running a different style of offense to kind of counteract it. I think Denver's still gotten a lot of good looks against the zone defense throughout the first two games, really. And I think tonight is another game where it's a big Aaron Gordon game for Denver. You know, I think that they kind of went away from that in game two, and Kevin Love did hold his own pretty well, but I think we have a chance to see that kind of get exposed tonight and see how that only worked for one game because it was just a different look. It wasn't necessarily the better look. The other thing I'm going to look for sure is just what does the fourth quarter look like tonight? Because, you know, I think Denver is the better team. I think they should absolutely – I'm even more confident tonight that Denver wins because they came off a loss where Michael Malone clearly, you know, called his team out and is kind of questioning how much they're into this, and I think they respond really well. But the fourth quarter Heat, man, just cannot be stopped, and it's going to come down to execution for me in that fourth quarter. So I'm going to keep an eye out on that as well. Just what does this fourth quarter look like, and – does the Heat have another come-from-behind moment in them? Do they have an excellent second half in them to win Game 3 at home?
I'll be interested to see what that Jimmy and Jamal matchup looks like again tonight and if the Heat go back to it. Because, we saw Jamal Murray kind of explode in the last 3 to 5 minutes of Game 2.
Right.
After being what I would describe as passive throughout most of the game. A lot of it was just him kind of getting downhill and then passing out of it to open guys. But I don't think he looked at the basket enough. I don't think he was aggressive enough trying to take Jimmy off the dribble, trying to put pressure on the Heat's defense, trying to kind of, you know, bend around and get downhill. I'll be interested to see if that last 5 minutes kind of carries over into tonight and you see an aggressive Jamal Murray and a Jamal Murray that's scoring at a high level. Because I don't think there's a team in the NBA that can beat the Nuggets when you have Jokic being Jokic and Jamal scoring.
Right. I'll also
be very curious if you see the Nuggets make any kind of move with Michael Porter Jr. It's been a dilemma the first couple of games this series just because of how much he has been exposed on the defensive end.
And I believe he did play less minutes in game two. I think he only had 26, maybe 28. Michael Malone is not afraid from kind of pulling him, you know, keeping him on a short leash.
Maybe he's even on a shorter leash tonight. I mean, he's been completely exposed defensively, and I think the Heat have kind of kept him in check offensively. His lack of movement and just his lack of discipline and fighting through screens, fighting around screens, rotating back over to cover up some of these Heat shooters. It's not just him, but he's glaringly been the worst among that group. Again, just in general, the Nuggets have struggled with the Heat's off-ball movement. You talked about that yesterday. The Heat move, I think, pretty uniquely. You don't see a lot of teams move in the same ways that the Heat do. And
no, they're excellent at it.
They utilize that baseline really well, too, but they're great off the ball. Michael Porter Jr. has been lost.
So game one, Porter Jr. plays 43 minutes. Game two, only 26. Every other starter in game two for the Nuggets played over 30. So, I mean, yeah, you already saw it that Malone is not really going to mess around with having him, you know, keep getting picked on out there. I will say, though, if you're Porter Jr., you should be looking at Duncan Robinson and being like, oh, that's what I should be doing on offense, because he would be unstoppable if he had that level of movement and cutting, screening, rescreening, backdoor cuts, getting downhill. Michael Porter Jr. would be a monster if he utilized some of Duncan Robinson's moves. But, that's a really good point that we may see even less of him in Game 3 if he proves to keep falling asleep on the defensive end. because this Heat team will catch you.
Or maybe you let him work through it. Maybe you just throw him back out there and you show him trust because he is an integral part of what the Nuggets do. You know, maybe you just say, hey, MPJ, we need you. You need to show up. You need to be better, and we're going to trust you. We're going to put you back out there, and we're going to give you the minutes, and you're going to work through it tonight.
They need something from him because they are basically down to eight guys. But, like, Bruce Brown's basketball IQ, especially defensively, is just clearly higher than Michael Porter Jr.'s. But, that you know, you can't play them all 48. You know, you need some MPJ.
So who wins tonight, and who's the leading scorer for the winning team?
It's the Nuggets, and it has to be Jamal Murray. Because if it's Jokic again, as you pointed out, they're not going to win. So it's got to be Jokic passing, rebounding, being the facilitator and the offensive anchor. But it's got to be Jamal Murray as the leading scorer for Denver to win.
I'm going to pick the Heat. The Nuggets have struggled on the road. The Heat have been pretty good down in Florida. Still waiting on Jimmy Butler to kind of wake up and be a bigger offensive threat in the series. He passed the ball well in game two, but you need Jimmy to be Jimmy. I think tonight it's Caleb Martin. I'm going to go back to him just from the Eastern Conference Finals. I think he has one of those nights tonight. I think you see Caleb Martin be aggressive, knock down shots, somewhere around 24, 25 points, and I think you'll probably have three or four Heat players all around the low 20s. I think the Heat get it done.
By the way, I would pick the Heat tonight if they had not won game two. But I think the loss in game two woke up Denver, and they have not lost since like game five of
Wake
the.
Wake them up.
They hadn't lost since
knock,
game
knock Denver,
five.
Get up. Time to go to school.
They
come
hadn't,
on.
They hadn't
Free
lost.
Free smoke. Jimmy Butler's
like
waiting
over
for
a
first
month.
Period.
Yeah.
Come
They've
on.
Been
bring
away.
It on. Wake up, Denver. I dare you. It doesn't matter.
I think it was
they're
the first.
In our house now. We got home court.
I think it was the first wake up call for them, and I think they're going to get it done. But if it was 2-0 right now, I'd pick the Heat as well.
All right, well, we'll catch a break here. We'll play Tuesday draft on the other side, Wednesday edition. Stay with us on the Blitz.
Your pet is in a...
So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go.
All right, back here on the Blitz, 11:40 on a Wednesday. It's time to play a little draft. Today we are drafting... you had this idea, right? You said it's... Drafting an episode of Saturday Night Live, essentially, an episode of SNL. Drafting one musical guest, one host, and three cast members.
Yeah.
Can the cast members just be anybody on the planet?
Yeah, live.
Like, I can be like...
No. They had to have been in the SNL universe. Unless you want to open it up.
I wanted to open it up to, like, the world.
To everybody. Okay. That's fine with me. It's your show,
brother. In
the
second round, I want... Alfonso Soriano.
Okay, you can have him.
That's
promise
for my musical guest, though.
Yeah, obviously.
Come on.
Yeah, that definitely changes things for sure. But if you want it, I'll let you have it, and I'm down with that because I think that actually is advantageous for me as well.
All right, did you pick first last week or did I?
I did for sure.
So it's my turn to pick first.
Go for it.
All right, so three cast members, a host, and musical guest. I'll start by taking a host.
All right.
And for my host, I'm going to take Shaquille O'Neal.
That's a good one.
Shaq as my host of Saturday Night Live. It's going to be wonderful.
Okay. I think maybe you missed on the best TNT guy, but no spoilers, but I think that's a miss on the number one pick from me.
I actually thought about the other one.
I actually think that...
Yeah, I think you're maybe going to take?
I think... I'm not right now. Certainly not. I think that Shaq dominates too much that I don't know that he could play the host role. Would have a good monologue, though, to open with for sure, but I don't know how good he plays in sketches. Are we sure? Shaq may have been on SNL at some point, but has he hosted? I don't know.
Probably been on at some point.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
I think.
All right, I'll and I get
now. You get
we're
two
snaking
picks. It's
it,
a snake
so
draft.
I'm gonna take two. Tim Robinson has SNL ties. I believe he served as a writer.
His humor was just too non-SNL for SNL, I think.
Yes, but in, you know, we talked about I think you
Tim
should
Robinson.
Leave it. Yeah, no, I'm taking him with my first pick.
What are you casting?
A cast member.
Cast member?
Yeah, easily. I think that we've now seen that his sketches are just incredible. So I'm going to take him. Second pick, I'm going to go with my favorite SNL alum, because that was what I had kind of thought of. I will take Chris Farley, who, incredible sketches, just one of my favorite actors altogether. So Farley is my second pick. So Robinson and Farley for me.
No, that's a great pick. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take a couple of cast members here. I'm going to take one former SNL guy.
Okay.
This might be controversial, but I always really liked him. I'm going to take Andy Samberg.
I don't think that's terrible. Definitely, you can use him in a lot of different
ways. I feel
like
he's just not one of the most famous ones when you have, like, Will Ferrell and, like, Chris Farley and some of these other guys. But I always have loved Andy. I think he's a better actor than people give him credit for, too. Like, I really, really enjoyed him in Palm Springs. I think he's very funny. I loved Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Taking Andy.
Extremely talented. You can use him in a lot of different ways as well.
And then, man, it's kind of funny because I said opening it up to the world, and I think I'm just going to take another ex-cast member.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to take Jason Sudeikis.
Sudeikis is great.
I think him, I was so glad when they both got their own shows at the same time. I think him and Bill Hader are both two of the most underrated actors in the world, period. And
yeah.
Underrated, like, creators, creative minds. I was so pumped when he got Ted Lasso, and I loved when Bill Hader got Barry. I'm big fans of both of them, and I want Sudeikis as one of my cast members.
I love it. So, to be clear, dead people on the board as well for us?
Well, you already picked Chris Farley.
What do you mean? What happened to Chris Farley? No, I'm just kidding. I did forget about that. You're right. He is very much dead. Definitely forgot about that. Sorry. So I have Farley and Tim Robinson. I forgot. R.I.P. All right. Then I'm going to take... So I'm going to take a non-cast member just to break it up a little bit. One of the people I think is hilarious, and also, funnily enough, I just randomly remembered died yesterday as well. I'm going to take Mike Leach, who I think has some of the greatest quotes post-game, you know, from the Mississippi State days, obviously, where he was talking about the Halloween candy. It's, you know, just a timeless amount of quotes from Mike Leach, RIP, the old ball coach. So Mike Leach is going to be part of my cast as well, because I don't really trust him to host. And my host is going to be Vince Vaughn.
You killed that.
Yeah, no,
you killed that.
An incredible stage presence, obviously.
Mike Leach as a cast member would be
elite, and you know Tim Robinson is going to use him well. Farley, clearly the star of my show, but the weird stuff that Mike Leach and Tim Robinson can be used for and get into is great. So it's Leach and it's Vaughn for me. Vince Vaughn, my host, by the way. So I just need musical guests.
I thought Mike Leach was your musical guest.
No, I don't know that.
Anyway.
I don't love his deep cuts.
Oh, gosh. There's so many options.
Literally anybody we've opened it up to. Even people who aren't funny. You could take somebody who's not funny. And that could be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just give me Jason Segel as my last cast member.
Okay.
Another one of my favorite actors. I think he's funny. I think he'd fit with this crew I got going so far.
Yeah, definitely.
I could see him and Shaq mixing together real well.
Yeah.
I need a sketch that stars the two of them.
I think your group would definitely have a ton of fun to be like to hang out like in the SNL after party with.
Musical guest to put it all together at the end. Oh gosh. Give me Turnpike Troubadours.
Okay, and I will take Nirvana, who also had a pretty sick SNL appearance at one point.
So I forgot I could pick dead musicians.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
So it's Nirvana, Vince Vaughn, Mike Leach, Tim Robinson, and Farley for me.
All right, intern Alex, I'm going to need you to turn the mic on and pick a winner here. My group, I have Shaq as my host, my three cast members, Jason Sudeikis, Andy Samberg, and Jason Siegel. And then my musical guest is Turnpike Troubadours. It's going to sound just some good old Texas country music coming through the NBC airwaves. Oh, it's going to sound beautiful. Matthew, he's got Tim Robinson, Chris Farley, and Mike Leach as cast members, Vince Vaughn as a host, and Nirvana as his musical guest. You got to pick a winner.
I love Andy Samberg so much. However, Matthew wins. Like, that is...
I agree.
Yeah. If I lost on Samberg, I would have been like, that's a deep cut that I just...
I like my draft, but I just think the combo, the back-to-back of Mike Leach and Vince Vaughn...
Once he said Mike Leach, he wins.
Yeah, no.
Mike Leach, Vince Vaughn is just tough to beat. I love Vince Vaughn, man.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn rules. And you know,
sometimes I forget about Vince Vaughn, but I remember Vince Vaughn, I'm like, I love that guy.
He's so good.
I just want to hang. I want to sit at a bar and just like watch college football with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, just one night, that'd be great. A couple sodas, just hanging out. I don't know who he's. I don't even know where he's from originally, so I don't know
Chicago,
who he roots for.
I think. Right?
Oh yeah, you're probably right. He's probably
big Chicago guy.
Probably Notre Dame guy.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he's an Illini guy.
Yeah, possible.
Good draft. Good idea by you. I like
appreciate it.
Might even have to go. Might even have to bring that back. Like another.
Yeah, it's a good
one.
Yeah.
I like the draft.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Catch a break here. We'll wrap up the show with best bet. On the other side, what you got cooking for us, Matthew?
Yeah, so I kind of went back and forth on what I wanted to do with the game tonight. I obviously need something on the game, and as we talked about in the breaking it down the last 2 days, like the fourth quarter really scares me off, and it kind of led me towards doing just a first half Nuggets bet. But you know what? I want to be invested the entire game. I want to watch till the end. I believe in this Nuggets team. As I said, I think that was a huge wake-up call for them losing at home for the first time in these playoffs. So it's Nuggets -2.5 for me.
I sent a screenshot of our drafts to our producer, Sam, who's currently in Germany for a month.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, yeah, if you're wondering where Sam is, he's in Germany. He'll be back. He said that I got absolutely... And then a couple of words that I can't say on the radio. And then he said, Chris Farley, Mike Leach, and Vince Vaughn could take over the world together.
Yeah,
I think I agree with that.
It's an elite combo.
Yeah, those three could, I think, save the world if you could get them together.
Well, I needed a win after you won the first draft so to even things up.
I got railed. my best bet tonight, NBA Finals, that's where I'm headed. I'm going to make a little SGP same game parlay. The Miami Heat money line, that's obviously the first leg. It's been failing me in the NBA Finals. I've been making this parlay with Heat money line, Jimmy Butler over, and Bam over on assists.
Yeah. I like the Bam over on assists, by the way. They clearly have figured something out with him operating for the free throw line.
You know what? Got to keep riding it. I'm going to still stick with it. Heat money line with Jimmy Butler over 24.5 tonight, so it is going down. And then Bam Adebayo to have 5-plus assists. That gets you 6-to-1 odds, and that is my best bet tonight. Miami Heat getting it done, but, man, let's go have a good day today. Let's go have a good Wednesday. A lot of fun right now in just the sports landscape with College World Series rolling along. NBA Finals tonight. Sure going to give us a loaded show tomorrow, but for this Wednesday edition of The Blitz, appreciate y'all tuning in. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, a beautiful Wednesday. For Matthew Gill, I'm Charlie Collier. This has been The Blitz. No talk sports today. We'll be back with local programming at 3 o'clock. Russell Smith and The Drive. A little satellite radio for you in the between time.